Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 86.
That's true. I think people don't understand how much soft skills play with them, right? So, you know, I've seen a lot of very, very talented people that just couldn't communicate, right? Or maybe were hard to work with or different things like that. So those things really do count. I'd almost say it's 51% of the 100% pie, right? So if you're a person who can communicate, you can have maybe lesser skills and go farther in your career than someone with like super skills and really, you know, hard to work with or are difficult to communicate with.
Today on episode 86, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Debbie Reynolds. Debbie Reynolds, the data diva, is a leading voice in data privacy and emerging technology. With 20 plus years of experience, she is a trusted advisor and thought leader in industries such as ad tech, fintech, ed tech, biometrics, and IoT. As CEO of Debbie Reynolds Consulting LLC, she combines technical expertise, business acumen, and advocacy. She is a sought-after speaker, media personality, and recipient of numerous honors and awards, including the host of the number one award-winning The Data Diva Talks Privacy Podcast, a spot in the Global Top 8 Privacy Experts and the Global Top 30 Cyber Risk Communicators. Debbie is dedicated to advancing the fields of data privacy and shaping its future. So thank you so much, Debbie, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so impressed with you and I'm happy. It took us a while to get this interview together, but I'm happy we're able to do it. So I'm really, really proud of all the work that you're doing. So you actually gave me a pretty good introduction. I would say, you know, I'm kind of a data tech nerd. And I thought when I was in college that I was going to go to law school. And so when I was in college, my mother was diagnosed with cancer and I had to find something to do so that I could spend more time with her. So I started like a business. Back then they called it desktop publishing. It was more like graphic stuff. And then I also, as a favor to a friend, I started helping libraries create databases of books. So back when libraries had card catalogs, they were trying to transition about almost 30 years ago into databases. So I fell in love with data. And so since then, I've just been doing a lot of more like digital transformation stuff. So I really like that, where people are either moving from analog systems to digital systems or moving from maybe less advanced to like more advanced systems. So that gets me right now to a lot of like biotech, you know, fintech, ad tech, AI, which is stuff that I really like. So it's very exciting.
That's really cool. On a sad side, you had to stop your dream of, you know, pursuing law to find a business or a career path to help libraries with databases. And you had to take a momentary pause from what you wanted to do. And then from there, you found a life of fun through data and you found something that you truly enjoyed by just taking a pause. And I think that's really commendable.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It was very unexpected. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't go to college for data. It was at the time that I was starting, you know, the commercial internet was just starting. So it was kind of new to everybody. So when you're starting and it's new to everybody, you know, I read as much as I could. You know, back then when you bought a computer, it came with a book. Like now they don't really come with books, or phones don't come with books. They just want you to press buttons and try to figure stuff out. So I read as much as I could. I played around as much as I could and I learned a lot. And so that served me well. And I really am excited that people call me up. People like you call me up and ask me for my thoughts and opinions on data stuff.
Well, thank you. And this is a great segue to my question for you, which is tell us a bit about your career path.
Yeah. So yeah, so I started my tech career in library science. I wanted to see what I could do with, kind of data, and I interviewed for a job at a company. It was a publishing company. And they called me in, and actually it was supposed to be a sales job. And they were like, "Oh, we don't want you for that. Like, we're doing this new thing, and we thought you'd be cool, because of your work with library stuff." So then I started creating like databases for corporations that were doing like litigation around the world. And during that time period, there was a book that my mother had given me called she had purchased a book called The Right to Privacy, and I read it, and she was fascinated by it, and it totally caught my attention because, I think in the US we assume that we have more privacy than we do. We think, oh, we're the land of the free, and we have all these rights. And I just was shocked that privacy wasn't part of that. And so as I was, along my digital career journey, I was seeing all this technology. It's like, wow, well, once you start using data in these different ways, like that would create like more privacy gaps for people. And so that's like the impetus behind my study there. And so my privacy for me was a personal interest. And as data started getting more complex and I started working with more companies that were multinational, all that my self-learning really helped, so people actually started calling me who knew me from those things back in the like 2014 time. And actually one of the first big companies to call me, asked me to talk to them about privacy, was McDonald's Corporation. So I went to their headquarters in Oak Brook, Illinois, and I spoke with their global legal team about privacy and regulation in the European Union. And so that was before that regulation came out. And so I said, wow, this is interesting that people are really interested in that. So I talked a lot about that. And a couple of years later, when that regulation finally became a law in the EU, PBS called and asked me to do an interview with them on television. And that was like 2018. So after that, I thought, well, maybe I should just do privacy full time. So that's what I've been up to.
I really
Yeah.
like that. I mean, you found a personal passion and then you started to harness that and you went deeper. You know, you talked to people at McDonald's and then at PBS, which is really cool. Then you decided to actually, pursue this hobby of yours. So it's really good to show that, your hobbies don't always have to be hobbies. You can always leverage them for something, and it's good to expand on them. And it's good to just enjoy life with those hobbies.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting. I had never thought that I'd have a career in something that I was really passionate about. You just think, oh, I just have a job and I, punch in, punch out or whatever. And you just do it to pay the bills, not necessarily something that you're passionate about. So I'm just super lucky that it's something I really, really care about.
So true. And yeah, this is another great segue to my question, which is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Yeah. So for someone who wants to go into a career similar to mine, well, first of all, when I started doing privacy, it wasn't even a job. So I think that's kind of a stream throughout a thread throughout my career. Like I was always doing things for which there were no titles, right? Or no good titles for what I was actually doing. So I would say, don't let that stop you. If you have something you're really interested in and you're really passionate about, people will create jobs for you. They'll create titles for you, especially with a lot of the new emerging technologies. Some of the jobs that we see now, they just did not exist like even 5 or 10 years ago. So don't let that be an impediment to what you want to do. So definitely hone your skills, but do as much as you can to learn on your own, whether that be reading books, looking at webinars. I remember, you're much younger than me, but I remember when you had to go to libraries and read books, right? So before the internet, so the fact that you have the internet, you have so much material that you can look at and learn from, and things, resources that are free. So definitely take advantage of that. But then once you decide you want to go on a certain path, definitely, I recommend people to get so that they so the other people know that they know what they're talking about. Definitely try to maybe get certifications, read as much as you can. I think artificial intelligence is a tremendous opportunity because right now we're at the beginning of the beginning, I think. So, no one, unless you were deep in the trenches on AI before the AI gold rush, very few people, we are kind of all at the same level, right? So if you decide that you want to go into artificial intelligence career, you're kind of at the ground level. So, reading, I tell people, if you read an article, if you read something about AI for 10 minutes a day for 30 days, you probably know more than anybody in your peer group, right? So, take advantage of those opportunities. And I will say, don't paint yourself in a box. We are all different. We have all different skills, but even things that you may not think are related can help you in your career. So I was not a technologist in college. I actually was a philosophy major. My mother was actually horrified that that was my major in college, but philosophy has helped me a lot. I do a lot of writing, I do a lot of speaking, I do a lot of explaining. So I have to explain very complex things to people in very simple ways. And I think philosophy helped me a lot with that, as well as a lot of the writing that I do.
Absolutely. And everyone starts somewhere. It's really good to try to enjoy something that you do without trying to chase a title because it's really materialistic in a consumer-based society that in order to survive, I have to become director of engineering at this one company, or I have to try to become the next CEO of Google. Instead of trying to achieve a title, it's better to hone in on your hobbies and your actual skill set. Because we all start somewhere, and in order to become the CEO of Google, you have to have a good skill set before you actually get there.
I mean, things are changing so fast. I've had things where people said they knew what my skill set was, but they didn't actually have a job for me, right? So, I mean, we have to create the title, create something, a tag or a name or a title or description. And so I think that's going to happen a lot more in the future as we have people with all these diverse skills, especially people who can talk to people at different levels of organization will be very valuable in the future. So I think that's an important skill to learn.
And there's actually been a bunch of fields that have been opening because of AI, like AI transcribers. And as AI kind of takes the storm by the world, just like how you said, the AI gold rush, I think that's really cool. I've never heard a coin like that, but I think that's really cool. There's going to be so many different opportunities. So as many people try to pursue computer science, maybe they will take a minor in AI because it's a new perspective field.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. At some point, all of us will have some base foundational knowledge of artificial intelligence, almost like we do now of computers, right? Or the internet. So I think starting now will definitely give you a head start.
So true. And my question for you, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Oh, wow. So a common myth about my profession. I think the most common myth about privacy is that you have to be a lawyer to be a privacy expert. And that's still not true. So you do hear a lot of people talking about laws and regulations. And it's so funny because when I was doing privacy, like there were no lawyers doing privacy in the US that I know of, right? And so I was t telling them about privacy because I'm like, well, you can't do that with data because it's illegal in France or different things like that, right? Because I knew that through my work. But I think, to me, anyone who has an interest in data, and they can learn something about privacy because privacy is like a horizontal issue that sort of cuts across almost any type of data job. So if you're dealing with data of humans at all, privacy is going to come into play when you're dealing with that data. So anyone, I feel like anyone that has a job at all, that has any type of data, they can learn and they can understand privacy enough that it will elevate them in their career. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes to show that certain skill sets can kind of transcend different industries. Privacy is an issue that comes across in basically every single field. Like if you're a user, you don't want, hackers to steal your information. But if you're part of a media company to want other competitive companies to steal your stuff. So privacy is, it's a pretty big deal and it goes across a lot of places. So it kind of shows that your hobbies do play a big role, because if you do want to switch from a corporate life to, you know, being an individual contributor, so long as you harness your hobbies and your soft skills more than your hard skills, then they can actually give you a better advantage.
That's true. I think people don't understand how much soft skills play with them, right? So, I've seen a lot of very, very talented people that just couldn't communicate, right? Or maybe were hard to work with or different things like that. So those things really do count. I'd almost say it's 51% of the 100% pie, right? So if you're a person who could communicate, you can have maybe lesser skills and go farther in your career. And someone with like super skills and really, hard to work with or are difficult to communicate with.
Yeah, so true. Because you could have like you could be the know-it-all, you could have all the answers, but if you can't communicate that or you're hard to work with, as you said, then you can't really share that information with people, and not anyone's gonna want to talk to you. So sometimes and most of the time, soft skills have the same value as the hard skills and the knowledge that you have.
All true, very true.
Okay, and if you could step into my shoes, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Oh wow, that's a tough question. If I was in your shoes, what would I ask yourself that you didn't ask, right? I would say, be open to the possibilities. I think it took me a long time to understand that, I do not have to fit in a box, right? So part of my career journey, part of my early career was, I didn't fit in this box. And so how do I stuff myself in this box? How do, it just never really panned out. So what I learned through just, trial and error is that you don't have to fit in the box. Like there's no box, right? So let's stop trying to create these like artificial barriers for ourselves and do the thing that you like to do best, and there'll be a place for you.
Yeah, I just totally agree, because a lot of students, like my peers, think that STEM is the only industry, and I'm going to take this as an example, even though my podcast kind of has a mission to bring more people to STEM. If you don't like STEM, then you don't have to pursue it. Of course, it's a field where a lot of opportunities are, but you don't have to force yourself to be like, okay, I have to like my math class, I have to like this. You know, your hobbies play a big role. And if you like doing art and if you like playing video games, then do you, because those can definitely help you later on. And you don't have to fit this artificial barrier in order to be like the next successful person in society.
There's just, I mean, the world is so open now, and I'm seeing more different types of job roles, more different, technologies, just so many different opportunities out there for people. So, I mean, just open your mind and don't like, don't feel like you have to fit in a box or, dream big. You can be the next Oprah or someone, right? So there's no one like Oprah. So Oprah never tried to be like anybody but herself. So I think that's always a good advice.
And in regards to you, what are the best resources and books that have helped you find your career path?
Oh, it's a great question. You know what? Some of the best books that I've read, they weren't actually career related books. I love philosophy. I majored in that. So I like the idea of taking an idea and like thinking it through, like as far as I can, and figuring out how to make it more practical. I think when I was in philosophy, there were so many like ivory tower thinkers, right? So they like to pontificate, talk about stuff that really doesn't matter in real life. And so for me, the thing that I like to do is talk about, how do I make this practical? How do I make it easy for someone to understand so that they like really get it? So for me, I always like books where or different types of things where it tries to take something and make it practical and make it usable. So even when I talk, I do a lot of keynote speaking, for companies like Coca-Cola, Uber, PayPal. And my goal always is to be able to leave people with something that they can use right now, right? So I don't want to talk so ivory tower, so high in the sky that is not something usable. So for me, I'm always looking for any types of books or publications that will help me take maybe a concept and figure out how to use it in the real world.
So true. And I think that the best information comes from random pieces that you might find and you might pick up because like the best things happen to you like on spontaneity. It's not always like a type of ladder that you have to reach, like, okay, I'll read this book and this chapter and I'll get this information. You might get like the best piece of advice through this podcast channel, or you get it through a random news article or something, because it's good to have an open mind, and you can always learn something from things you didn't know might have existed.
And you're always, if you're doing it right, you're always building on your knowledge, right? So there may be something that you learned a long time ago. You find something new. Like, for example, there's a new thing called IPS. So IPS is like GPS, but it's about mapping things inside, indoors, right? So because I know about GPS, it's not going to be hard for me to know about IPS, right? Even though that's a new thing. So that's like an example of using your foundational knowledge to build on other things.
And knowledge is power because technology is always changing, and I think it always will. So if you have that foundation to keep on learning, even on a spontaneity, then you should be set to go.
I agree. I agree. You're doing really great work here. Very good.
And what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
The thing that shaped my career, I think, let's see. I don't know. I think I've always been very curious. So my father was a mechanical engineer, and he was the type of person he could fix anything. He'd be like, he's like a MacGyver type guy, right? So he would be like, oh, get me a stick that's like this long, and we're gonna go do this thing to this car. And I'm like, yeah, let's go do this thing, right? And so I think I'm like that in my career. And so it just was not, it was, I didn't do it intentionally. That was just what I learned. Like, my parents were like very curious people. And so that's what fascinates me about technology and data. Like, I love data flows. I'm like, oh, if I do this, what, if I make this change here, how, what happens over there, right? So what is like the cause and effect? So for me, it's always been about curiosity. And so, and being able to ask questions. And I love to talk to people all over the world and in different areas about their interests. And so that helps me learn. It just makes you a better person because you get to connect with people and you exchange ideas and information. And so, we give each other really good energy when we're out there trying to learn about one another and trying to teach one another things.
I love it. The ability to apply something that you personally enjoy into, your corporate life and makes things more fun. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it.
And because we have additional time, my question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
Yeah, I wish I had known that I didn't have to take the path that other people took. And so, I have friends still that still struggle with that, right? So they're like, for example, like, I have some friends who they're lawyers, and they, when they went to law school, they were taught, okay, you have to go into like a big firm, and you have to go up the ladder, and become a partner, and you're with that firm for like 40 years. And that just does not have to be the case, right? There are just a lot of things that you can do that don't require you to have to go to a big firm or different things. So I think having people think so much out of the box around the possibilities of what they can be, but it's hard to do that if you aren't able to really showcase who you are and what you can do. So I think, I guess my advice would be twofold. One is, put yourself out there, like you're doing right now. There are people who are, double or twice your age who haven't learned what you learned, which is important, which is, get out there, let people know what your skills are, and that it'll be like a magnet, right? People will like be attracted to you, and they'll be offering you things that you care about and the things you want because you've already articulated what that is. So I think being able to have kind of a brand for yourself, I tell people everyone has a brand, whether they know it or not. It's almost like having a front yard. So, like, do you cut the lawn in your front yard, or you just let weeds grow there, right? So you have one regardless. So you want to figure out, how can I communicate to the world, who I am, what I do, how I can help them so that I can bring opportunities my way. Then also, you attract people who either want to help you on your along your journey, or people who can help, sharpen your skills as well.
I love that. Put yourself out there, because I think that if once you do that, there's nothing to lose. I mean, you're just putting yourself out there, you're living life freely, and you're doing what you love. And opportunities will come your way, or they may not, but so long as you put yourself out there and make people know who you are, then you're on a good path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
All right. Well, before we end off, do you have any last words to the audience?
Oh, I will say, first of all, if you're smart enough to listen to this podcast, you're a pretty smart cookie already. So definitely keep along the path. Learning and education is very important, and learning from people who have experience. And also, communication is key. I can't stress that enough. So no matter what field you go in, the people who are gonna rise to the top are those who are very good communicators. So if you're learning and listening to this podcast and learning how to talk to people, have conversations with people at all levels, you go very far in whatever career that you decide to do.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I absolutely love talking to you, and I hope you have the best rest of your day.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And here are the 3 cents I learned with Debbie. 1, intrinsic motivation. Pursuing hobbies and passions for the sheer joy they bring rather than for external recognition or titles can teach you the value of intrinsic motivation. 2, continuous learning. Immersing yourself in hobbies and interests offers endless opportunities for learning and growth. Whether you're exploring a new artistic technique, refining a culinary skill, or mastering a musical instrument, each experience provides a chance to expand your knowledge and expertise. And 3, personal development. Engaging in activities you love allows you to cultivate a deeper understanding of yourself, your strengths, preferences, and values. As you invest time and energy into your hobbies, you may discover new talents, uncover hidden passions, and develop a stronger sense of identity. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Zito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!